I almost forgot in my announcements. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, so it is Communion Sunday. If you are here, you know what we're having, those little individual cup and wafer that you've all been looking forward to since last month. At home, please have your elements ready. Remember, we practice an open communion table here. All are welcome at the invitation of Christ. That is between you and Christ. We do not stand in the way of that relationship. And so all are welcome to come to our table. So that will be next Sunday. So we're continuing in Romans this week. Last week we looked at Paul asking us to either, or challenging us to, instead of being conformed to the world, to be transformed. Well, today he has different advice yet again. You ever notice these days, I mean, you know what a consumer market we have. Everyone's trying to sell their things. And one of the big phrases they use is innovative design. Have you noticed that? I think car companies are maybe the worst offenders when it comes to innovative design, right? Whether it's a cheap compact to a high mileage hybrid to a classy, overpriced luxury car, they all claim to have innovative design. And they claim that for everything, whether it's the buttons on the entertainment system, to the stitching on the leather seats, I mean, really innovative, to the tie downs in the trunk, innovative design, self-made claims. After all, who wants to buy something that claims to be dull and old-fashioned, or stodgy even? Do you want that product? Even if it's built Ford tough, it's still just your grandpa's pickup truck, unless it's got all the modern bells and whistles under its belt, right? So what is innovative design? Now, Richard Florida, founder of the Creative Class Group, has this to say. Innovative design should be strikingly elegant. Think on that. But simple and intuitive to use. You cannot fathom how you once lived without it. He says, cut out the ornamentation and design and just be as straightforward as you can. Now, Brad Schellhammer, founder of Bazaar, says this about innovative design. It's quite simple. Did the design move the world? The number one thing is, did this design change the world and for the better? Originality, beauty, aesthetics, they're all needed, but I'm more interested in the problem that the design solves, and more importantly, the people whose lives are changed, even if just a little. All right, who had a flip phone 20 years ago? Those things were the best, right? They were so easy to use, right? How did you answer the phone? You opened it up. How did you hang up? You closed it back down. Foolproof. No fumbling in buttons and who knows which one to push. And I like the speakerphone, I'm forever muting it. So you couldn't go wrong with a flip phone. Or how about Rubik's Cube? It's eye-catching, it's beautiful, its design makes you want to pick it up and start doing the Rubik's Cube thing, right? It was hard to solve, but the design didn't need an instruction book, just solving it did. It begged you to pick it up, and you knew exactly what to do with it intuitively. Going back even further, two things that people always point out as perfect design, pencils and scissors. Those are great products you use every day. It's hard to improve on the design of a pencil, right? Or a pair of scissors. But pencils can be tricky when you put words on them and then begin to use them. Now, wanting to send an anti-drug message, someone designed a pencil with the phrase, too cool to do drugs. And that was really great, right? Till you started sharpening it. Then it became cool to do drugs, drugs. Not a brilliant design, sounded better than it was. That all gives you food for thought, doesn't it, as we look at Paul's advice for living in today's text. Is it innovative, or is it just repackaged same old. Now, back in the first century when Paul was writing, he had some pretty innovative ideas about what it meant to be a true Christian. And he shared his design with the followers of Jesus in Rome. And that's kind of one of the things the book of Romans is about. Paul sharing his design for new life in Christ and a new way of living. And they're just as surprising today as they were then. For starters, Paul encourages us to do the opposite. And this section of Romans is kind of like the opposite section. He tells us to do the opposite of what our gut tells us we should do, right? Especially when we're attacked. Instead of fighting fire with fire, he says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Is that your gut reaction? It sure as heck isn't my gut reaction, right? Straight for the jugular. The approach that most people take is don't get mad, get even, right? Heaping curses on evildoers is acceptable in most cultures, certainly in ours. And look, you know, right? You just have to look at any political attack ad on TV right now to know that that's true. But Paul says, bless. The Christian design is to offer good to a persecutor instead of fighting back or counterattacking or evening the score. And that's pretty innovative design for our world. Paul was really not saying anything that Jesus hadn't said or done. In both Jesus' teaching and his own practice, there was a striking, bold, new design for living. Hostility was to be met with prayer, violence with blessing. As Jesus himself says in the Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. A pastor, Peter Marty, tells a story of a woman named Martha who had a terrible childhood. She says, Mom would beat me regularly with a strap. She was mean even when I did nothing wrong. My dad was cruel for reasons I don't understand. He'd pack my lunch, and he'd often put a rock in it instead of a sandwich. And as hungry as I was after school, I still dreaded coming home. So Pastor Marty asked her how it was that she and her husband had managed to raise a beautiful child of their own after such a hellish childhood. And she said, I was determined to do the complete opposite of what my parents did for me. Do the opposite. Love instead of hate. Bless instead of curse. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. That's what Paul says, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. That's brilliant design. Beautiful, simple, elegant, truly innovative design. Remember what Brad Schellhammer said when he defined innovative design? He asked, did the design move the world? And that's the number one thing. Did the design change the world and change it for the better? Originality, beauty, intuitive to use like scissors, that's great. But is the problem that the design solves, and more importantly, the people whose lives are changed, justifying the design? Paul encourages us to live according to the values of the kingdom of God instead of the values of this world. The world is a dog-eat-dog place. Oh boy, don't we know that at this point. With people competing fiercely and being willing to harm each other in order to succeed. But the values of God's kingdom invite us to live in harmony with one another. The values of God's kingdom encourage us not to be haughty, there's a word we don't use very much, prideful. Associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Boy, there's one to really think about, right? Because how many times do we claim to be wiser than we are? I'm not even going to unpack that in my life, thank you. And I'll leave you to do your own homework on that one. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. In the summer of 1985, Professor Henri Nouwen left his position at Harvard Divinity School, and he joined a movement called the Arch. It's a French word that means the Ark, and he moved to France. Henri Nouwen did this, spending 9 months living with people with learning disabilities and sharing their lives. he was so impressed with this place that he gave up his job at Harvard and served as their pastor until he died in 1996. He took seriously the instruction of Paul to associate with the lowly and not to claim to be wiser than you are. He moved there so that he could be closer to the heart of God, as he put it. And while he was there, he supported a young man named Adam who was severely disabled. And as he cared for Adam, he came to a deeper understanding of his faith and what it means to be loved by God. Because in this community, the focus is on loving those who feel alone and abandoned because of mental disabilities. A beautiful, innovative design. Paul encourages us to conquer our enemies in an innovative way. If your enemies are hungry, what? Feed them. Who wants to feed their enemies? If they're thirsty, give them salt water. No, give them something to drink. And by doing that, you will heap burning coals. That's kind of funny, actually, on their heads. Paul doesn't want Christians to be passive in the face of their enemies, rolling over and playing dead when we're confronted with evil. He says, take action. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In a speech that Abraham Lincoln delivered during the Civil War, he referred to Southerners as fellow human beings who were, got to get this quote right, fellow human beings who were in error, is how he referred to Southerners. And after the speech, a woman from the North chastised him for not calling them irreconcilable enemies who must be destroyed. Lincoln said, "Madam, do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends?" That's what Paul's talking about here. That unexpected, innovative design of the Christian life is to overcome evil with good instead of fighting evil with evil. If our enemies are hungry, we feed them. If they're thirsty, we give them something to drink. And in the end, we destroy our enemies by turning them into friends. But to transform an enemy into a friend means that we have to be willing to step forward and initiate that change. Jesus tells us that that's what love is. Not a feeling, but living in a way that forgives wrongs, that looks past harsh statements, past injustices, social pressure, all those kind of things, and finds a common bond with the other person. And that kind of transformation is what Jesus talks about during the Sermon on the Mount when he says, "In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets." When faced with an enemy, don't attack them. Instead, golden rule them, feed them, give them something to drink, do to others as you would have them do to you. The Apostle Paul challenges us to do the opposite of what people expect us to do, blessing instead of cursing. He invites us to live the values of the kingdom instead of the values of this world and to conquer our enemies with kindness. Yes, there is evil in the world. Boy, you don't have to look too far in the news to know that. But we, God's people, are called to meet that evil in the way that God met it, with love and grace and dignity. God knows that the way to overthrow evil, rather than perpetuating it, is to take its force and give back goodness instead. And that's what Christ did on the cross. And that's what we're challenged to do in our daily lives of love and sacrifice. So if you want some truly innovative design of your own, you don't need to spend a fortune on a Mercedes with its fancy German engineering or visit the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. You can own some innovative design absolutely free. Free to blatantly copy and claim as your own. Don't worry, Jesus and Paul will not mind one little bit. So here it is one more time. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Any of you pick up even one sentence that you can work on? Because you look at that whole list and you're like, oy, 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 I will never get anywhere with this. But if you pick one thing to work on, as we enter yet one more election cycle in our nation, and the rhetoric of our politicians becomes more and more hateful and filled with personal attacks that they and we traffic in, whether in person or on social media, when that reaches new level of nasty, maybe we need to think of a new and innovative design for how we do politics in this country. And you know what? I have never lived in a border town before, between two states. If you think political ads are bad in one state, here in the Omaha area, we get to hear them from two states. It's like being doubly cursed. Maybe we need to look long and hard at Paul's words and see where and how we can change the discourse. Because it seems pretty obvious that our old design for how we do political business in this country is not only out of date, but it's about as dangerous as that too cool to do drugs pencil was. That might be a good place for us to institute a design change right now. Are you in? Changing our world through loving our enemies? Draining the swamp by overcoming evil with good? 4 years ago, I can't tell you how many people would talk to me about how distressed they were about friends or colleagues or family members on Facebook and the hateful discourse, and how many people they had to ultimately defriend or unfriend, and how painful that was for them. What if instead of hitting that unfriend button on those people, you were to pray for them? Or think of a way to bless them instead. Innovative design. Simple, easy to remember, sleek and friendly, guaranteed. I will guarantee you this. Paul's innovative design will make you look and act younger and be seen as more beautiful than you could imagine. And it's a design that's never finished, but one that we work on every day, maybe even with pleasure. So are you in this election season to trying some innovative design and taking your cue from Paul here in Romans? I hope so. Amen.